Welcome to day 364 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host, and we have had a great year together going through the Word of God. And now we are coming around the bend to the last 2 days of our journey through the entire Bible. We are going to complete the book of Revelation tomorrow. Today we will cover Revelation 12 through 18. Tomorrow we will take the last chapters of the amazing book of Revelation. In today's reading, we will begin to see some astonishing signs in the heavens, and a lot of symbolic pictures are going to be displayed in these chapters, all representative of actual events that will be taking place during the end times. So we will begin at Revelation chapter 12, starting at the first verse in the New American Standard Bible. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, so that there she would be nourished for 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has only a short time." And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the 2 wings of the great eagle were given to the woman, so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children, who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. Chapter 13. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his heads were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. They worshiped the dragon because he gave his authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast? And who is able to wage war with him?" There was given to him a mouth, speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 42 months was given to him. And he opened his mouth in blasphemies against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, that is, those who dwell in heaven. It was also given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority over every tribe and people and tongue and nation was given to him. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who has been slain. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here is the perseverance and the faith of the saints. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. He exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence, and he makes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound was healed. He performs great signs, so that he even makes fire come down out of heaven to the earth in the presence of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth because of the signs which it was given him to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who had the wound of the sword and has come to life. And it was given to him to give breath to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast would even speak and cause as many as do not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he causes all, the small and the great, and the rich and the poor, and the free men and the slaves, to be given a mark on their right hand or on their forehead. And he provides that no one will be able to buy or to sell except the one who has the mark, either the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for the number is that of a man, and his number is 666. Chapter 14. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder. And the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. These are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they have kept themselves chaste. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These have been purchased from among men as first fruits to God and to the Lamb, and no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless. And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to preach to those who live on the earth, and to every nation and tribe and tongue and people. And he said with a loud voice, Fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of His judgment has come. Worship Him who made the heaven and the earth and sea and springs of water. And another angel, a second one, followed, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, she who has made all the nations drink of the wine of the passion of her immorality. Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his hand, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. They have no rest day and night. Those who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, so that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them. Then I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and sitting on the cloud was one like a son of man, having a golden crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. And another angel came out of the temple, crying out with a loud voice to him who sat on the cloud, Put in your sickle and reap, for the hour to reap has come, because the harvest of the earth is ripe. Then he who sat on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel, the one who has power over fire, came out from the altar, and he called with a loud voice to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, Put in your sharp sickle, and gather the clusters from the vine of the earth, because her grapes are ripe. So the angel swung his sickle to the earth, and gathered the clusters from the vine of the earth, and threw them into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and blood came out from the winepress up to the horses' bridles for a distance of 200 miles. Chapter 15. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels who had seven plagues, which are the last, because in them the wrath of God is finished. And I saw something like a sea of glass mixed with fire, and those who had been victorious over the beast and his image and the number of his name standing on the sea of glass, holding harps of God. And they sang the song of Moses, the bondservant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord God, the Almighty. Righteous and true are your ways, King of the nations. Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all the nations will come and worship before you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. After these things I looked, and the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels who had the seven plagues came out of the temple, clothed in linen clean and bright, and girded around their chest with golden sashes. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power. And no one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were finished. Chapter 16. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go and pour out on the earth the seven bowls of the wrath of God." So the first angel went and poured out his bowl on the earth, and it became a loathsome and malignant sore on the people who had the mark of the beast and who worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his bowl into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living thing in the sea died. Then the third angel poured out his bowl into the rivers and the springs of waters, and they became blood. And I heard the angel of the waters saying, "Righteous are you who are and who were, O Holy One, because you judged these things. For they poured out the blood of saints and prophets, and you have given them blood to drink. They deserve it." And I heard the altar saying, "Yes, O Lord God the Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments." The fourth angel poured out his bowl upon the sun, and it was given to it to scorch men with fire. Men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, who has the power over these plagues, and they did not repent so as to give him glory. Then the fifth angel poured out his bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain, and they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river, the Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way would be prepared for the kings from the east. And I saw coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, three unclean spirits like frogs, for they are spirits of demons, performing signs, which go out to the kings of the whole world, to gather them together for the war of the great day of God the Almighty. Behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes, so that he will not walk about naked and men will not see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place which in Hebrew is called Har Megiddon. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, "It is done." And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder. And there was a great earthquake, such as there had not been since man came to be upon the earth. So great an earthquake was it, and so mighty. The great city was split into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. Babylon the Great was remembered before God to give her the cup of the wine of his fierce wrath. And every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And huge hailstones, about 100 pounds each, came down from heaven upon men. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, because its plague was extremely severe. Chapter 17. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, full of blasphemous names, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. And on her forehead a name was written, a mystery: Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered greatly. And the angel said to me, "Why do you wonder? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and the ten horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, and is about to come up out of the abyss and go to destruction. And those who dwell on the earth, whose name has not been written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, will wonder when they see the beast, that he was and is not and will come. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits, and they are seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must remain a little while. The beast, which was and is not, is himself also an eighth, and is one of the seven, and he goes to destruction. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings, who have not yet received a kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose, and they give their power and authority to the beast. These will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. And he said to me, "The waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which you saw and the beast, these will hate the harlot and will make her desolate and naked, and will eat her flesh and will burn her up with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to execute his purpose by having a common purpose and by giving their kingdom to the beast until the words of God will be fulfilled. The woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." Chapter 18. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons, and a prison of every unclean spirit, and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality." I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds, in the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her. To the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she says in her heart, 'I sit as a queen, and I am not a widow, and will never see mourning.' For this reason, in one day her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. And the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in one hour your judgment has come." And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore, cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and every kind of citron wood and every article of ivory and every article made from very costly wood and bronze and iron and marble, and cinnamon and spice, and incense and perfume, and frankincense and wine and olive oil and fine flour, and wheat and cattle and sheep, and cargoes of horses and chariots and slaves and human lives. The fruit you long for has gone from you, and all things that were luxurious and splendid have passed away from you, and men will no longer find them. The merchants of these things, who became rich from her, will stand at a distance because of the fear of her torment, weeping and mourning, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city, she who was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in one hour such great wealth has been laid waste." And every shipmaster and every passenger and sailor and as many as make their living by the sea stood at a distance and were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, "What city is like the great city?" And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, "Woe, woe, the great city, in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth, for in one hour she has been laid waste." Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her. Then a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, "So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer." And the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer. And no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. And the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer. And the light of a lamp will not shine in you any longer. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride will not be heard in you any longer. For your merchants were the great men of the earth, because all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on the earth. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Today's reading gave us so much material that there's not time to comment on it all. And many scholars and eschatologists have commented on the meaning of all the different things that we heard today. So I'm going to focus just on a few things that we find here in chapter 12. In the beginning of chapter 12, we see this sign in the heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and in pain to give birth. Then, verse 3, another sign appears. Behold, a great dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems, and his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she gave birth, he might devour her child. And she gave birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with the rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. This picture that's given to us here is talking about the Messiah being birthed. This picture of the woman represents Israel, which was the chosen nation that was chosen by God to bring forth the Messiah into the earth. So if you accept that interpretation, that the woman represents Israel, that the child, the male child who's to rule all the nations with the rod of iron, is a reference to Jesus the Messiah, then you can understand, as you hear these particular statements about the dragon who's ready to devour the child as soon as he's born, that that is a definite reference to Satan trying to destroy the Messiah. And you'll remember from the story that accompanied Jesus's birth, that as soon as Jesus was born, Herod wanted to destroy this child that had been prophesied about, this coming king. And when the three wise men or the magi from the east appeared in Jerusalem, and Herod had a discussion with them what they were seeking, and they revealed to him that they were following a star that they believed heralded the birth of this newborn king that had been prophesied about, Herod was quite interested, because he was a very paranoid ruler who was continuously killing anyone that he thought might be a threat to his rule. So when he heard these three magi tell him this story, he wanted to find that child. And as you know the story, he sent his soldiers to Bethlehem and had them kill every child up to 2 years old in accordance with the information that he had gotten from the Magi about the time of the birth of the child. And this is very clearly represented here, that Satan is always trying to destroy the seed that God sends into the world. And in the case of Jesus, there was an attempt by Satan through that wicked King Herod to destroy the Christ child, which of course couldn't be accomplished, because God's purposes will always be accomplished regardless of human or devilish intent to destroy or in any way prevent God's purposes from coming to pass. Then the next picture we find here in Revelation 12, starting in verse 7, is a picture of the spiritual battle that took place when Satan was cast out of heaven, when he was Lucifer, one of the archangels of God, and then he was thrown out of heaven and took with him a third of the angelic hosts that were probably under his command as an archangel. It says in verse 7, there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels waging war with the dragon. The dragon and his angels waged war, and they were not strong enough, and there was no longer a place found for them in heaven. And the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. Now, you may remember when we were reading back in the Old Testament, we found two places, one in Ezekiel and one in Isaiah, that referenced this rebellion of Satan or Lucifer in heaven and how he was cast out of heaven. And there's a description of Lucifer as an angel in heaven in Ezekiel 28, because it talks about how he was perfect in wisdom, perfect in beauty, perfect in all his ways, referring to Lucifer, until the day that iniquity was found in him. And then in Isaiah chapter 14, it talks about how Satan or Lucifer had such pride that he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of heaven. I will sit in the congregation of the sides of the north. I will ascend above the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I will be like God. And yet he was cast down. And then you may recall Jesus saying, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So all these references to Lucifer and them being thrown out of heaven, and then this reference in Revelation about the dragon taking a third of the stars, which are often a metaphor for the angels in heaven, a third of the stars coming down to the earth or getting cast down to the earth with Satan. So we kind of get this picture given to us in the middle of this book of Revelation that's really a look back as to what happened with Lucifer, who became Satan, and how he rebelled against God, and now that he's been cast down to the earth, how he's been warring against the people who love God ever since. We see here in Revelation that the dragon warred against Israel, or the nation of Israel, and then of course the Messiah that came out of Israel. So there's this war against God's people pictured with the dragon going after the woman and then going after the woman's child. And we know that Satan has warred against the people of God, against Israel, God's chosen people, for centuries. Historically, there has been such incredible persecution against the Jewish people historically. There was the Great Inquisition in Spain in 1492. All the Jews were cast out of Spain. We saw the horrific persecution that arose through Hitler in Germany with this tremendous spirit of anti-Semitism that has risen up in Europe, not only during World War II, but even in more recent years. And then, of course, the phenomenal conflict in the Middle East, where Israel's always at the center and the other nations trying to destroy Israel. We have nations that have made it part of their creed and doctrine that Israel must be destroyed and wiped off the face of the earth. There are certain countries that have made that statement very clearly, including Iran, the head of Iran. And it has just been a historical fact that the Jewish people, the people of Israel, God's chosen people, have been attacked, persecuted, and a focus of the enemy's intention to destroy, just as is pictured here in the book of Revelation. But Revelation makes it clear that it's not only the people of Israel or the Jewish nation that is the focus of Satan and his hunger to destroy, but it's all of the children of God, because it says in verse 17 of Revelation 12, so the dragon was enraged with the woman, which represents Israel, and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So this now includes not only Israel, the chosen people of God, but now it includes all those who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So that brings in Christians and the church, universal church of God himself, all over the earth. So Satan, the dragon, is enraged with not only Israel, but all the children of God, those who hold to the testimony of Jesus. So not only historically have we seen persecution of Israel and the Jewish people, we have also seen persecution of Christians and those who hold to the testimony of the Lord Jesus, who profess his name. And that is something we're going to see with great increase as the end times draw nearer. We're seeing more of it now in the earth, in different parts of the earth. Christians being imprisoned and tortured and murdered in nations around the world simply because they testify of Jesus. They hold to a faith in Jesus Christ. But there's a secret hidden here in the book of Revelation chapter 12 in verse 11 that I want to share with you as we close today. And this is a scripture that gives us a spiritual secret about overcoming every single attack and strategy of the enemy of our soul, Satan himself. I'll back up just a little bit and start at verse 10 and then read through verse 11. In Revelation 12:10, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. He who accuses them before our God day and night, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death.'" The two things I want you to take away from those two verses are this. Number one, Satan is referred to as the accuser of the brethren. He accuses them before our God day and night. It says here in Revelation. You may recall in the book of Job that we saw this very interesting statement that Satan appeared in heaven before God and talked to God about Job. In other words, he had access to heaven, though he had been cast down to the earth. He had access to heaven for some season, even now, I believe, and he's accusing Job to God, saying, "Oh, he only serves you for money because you bless him. He's a mercenary. He just does it for the money. You bless him. He's rich, and he only serves you that way. He'd turn on you in a minute if you took all his stuff away." So essentially, Satan was accusing Job of being insincere in his trust and faith in God and being essentially in it for the blessings. So he accused Job before the Lord. And we see this same thing said here in Revelation. He who accuses them, referring to believers, the brethren, he who accuses them before our God day and night. So Satan, the accuser of the brethren, is referenced here in Revelation. And it's said about him that he accuses the believer before God day and night. So he's always accusing us of not being sincere, of not being true, of being sinful, of not being worthy of God's affection, attention, and forgiveness. That's what Satan does. You may feel like Satan accuses you to your own mind, and that is one of his strategies, to tell you you're not forgiven, God's mad at you, God hasn't forgiven you, he remembers all those sins you committed in the past. He accuses you, even to your own mind, to try to deceive you into believing you haven't been forgiven, or you really aren't saved, or many other things, that God doesn't accept you because you're such a crummy Christian and you keep falling into sin and that sort of thing. He's an accuser. That's one of the descriptions of Satan, the accuser of the brethren. Well, this scripture tells us that he still accuses the brethren, the people of God, before God night and day. But then verse 11 gives us an important and powerful key that we must take hold of. It says, they overcame him. Who overcame him? The brethren, the people who love God, who are being accused by Satan. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So they were able to get the victory over Satan and all his demonic pressure against them and his satanic attacks against their minds by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Do you have a revelation of the blood of the Lamb in your life, that the blood of Jesus, your trust in it, has washed away all your sins, past, present, and future, that you're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, and that there is power in the word of your testimony? Your testimony is that which you have and that you speak about the goodness of God in your life, about the power of God in your life, about your receiving God's forgiveness and grace and restoration and power and forgiveness and transformation in your life. And that word of your testimony, God has done great things for me. God delivered me. God set me free. God set my feet on solid ground. God transformed me. God took me out of the kingdom of darkness and brought me into the kingdom of His dear Son. These things are the word of your testimony, and there's a spiritual secret and spiritual power in understanding that you have the blood of Jesus as your defense for any satanic attack against you, that Jesus has forgiven you, that His blood was enough to forgive and cleanse and make you whole and clean and pure in God's sight. And the powerful aspect of your testimony of what Christ has done in your life is not to be understated, because this scripture tells us that those believers who were constantly accused by the devil overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And then it goes on to say they did not love their life even when faced with death. Obviously, this is a reference to these people walking through the tremendous tribulation time, and even when they were faced with death because of their testimony of believing in Jesus, they didn't flinch. They overcame the devil. They weren't put under by the devil. The devil wasn't successful in getting them to recant their faith in Christ. They overcame him, even to the point where they didn't love their lives, even unto death. And God is able to work that same power in your life, where you can resist the enemy and have victory over his attacks by your taking hold of the revelation of the power of the blood of Jesus in your life, and by utilizing the word of your testimony. This is very powerful in resisting the enemy. The enemy will try to attack your mind, try to discourage you, try to say you're getting nowhere in Christ. In fact, you're a worse Christian than you were last year, and all of this sort of thing. But if you will take hold of this powerful principle, that the word of your testimony, by testifying to other people of what God has done in your life, you'll get victory over the attacks of the enemy against you. This is something that I believe not a lot of Christians understand the power of it, and yet it's one of the weapons God has put in our spiritual arsenal to have victory, to overcome the attacks of the enemy against our lives while we're still walking on this earth. I want to encourage you today, take every opportunity that you have to share your testimony, what God has done for you, what Christ means in your life, how God has transformed you through your relationship with Jesus Christ. And that powerful spiritual exercise will empower you and help you to overcome the enemy as you walk every day with the Lord. Be encouraged. The scripture teaches us that greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. And that's a reference to Satan, the accuser of the brethren, who's been cast down to the earth and is wandering about in the world trying to devour whoever he can get access to. But the Lord says, greater is he that's in you. That's God himself. So God in you is stronger than any attack of the enemy, than anything Satan would try against you. But it's important for you to understand how powerful the blood of Jesus is in your life and how powerful the word of your testimony about what God has done for you is in your life as well. Take an opportunity today to share the word of your testimony, and God will use it to empower, protect, and give you victory over the enemy of your soul. God bless you and give you a victorious week.